Okay, I want to start with a question. What are you becoming? Just think about it for a second. I'm going to give you 1 minute. I'm going to set a timer because if we start talking, we'll never stop. 1 minute, just turn to a person that's close to you and just say the first one or two things that comes to your mind. What are you becoming? Go. Okay, you didn't need the timer. I can't believe that. So does anybody want to share what you came up with, or you want to tell me what your neighbor said? And keep it to yourself? Okay. Maybe later. Well, I do appreciate the opportunity to be up here, and I wish you could be up here and look out. I just really appreciate what an encouragement you all are. The people who put this together, you for being here, for one, we all were designed to want more, and you're here because you want more out of life, and this is the place to find it. Not from me or from the ladies, but from the Bible. And I appreciate your encouragement very much. I want to start by looking at two women from the Bible. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Eve, the mother of all living. What do these women have in common? Both women are blessed by God. Mary was blessed. In Luke 1:28, the angel told her, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And right after that, it said Mary was deeply troubled. I don't think she was troubled that he said rejoice. I don't think she was troubled that he said the Lord is with you. So what troubled her must have been that he called her favored. And that troubled her, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But she was blessed. Genesis 1:28, he created them male and female, and God blessed them. Eve was blessed. Both women were blessed by God. Both women knew God's will. In Mary, we learn a lot about her at the end of Luke chapter 1 by her song of praise. And I looked a lot at the song of praise and just wanted to ask you, do you have a song of praise? Is there a song or a thought in your heart that you constantly go back to and praise God for? Those special things in your life that you're thankful for every day. We may not call them a song, but maybe we should write it in a song format. Do you have a song of praise? But in her song of praise, we know that she knew the scripture. She knew the prophecies, and like her, probably her mother and her grandmother before that, they were waiting for those prophecies to be fulfilled. They were waiting for Jesus Christ. And I think when she heard that she was a favored woman, she was kind of counting the cost of what that blessing meant, that these prophecies are going to come through me. Pretty huge. Eve, of course, knew God's will. She walked and talked with God. She was surrounded by His perfect goodness, and she knew His one rule. So both women knew God's will. Both women were created to be image bearers of God. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female." Like Eve and like Mary, we too are created to bear God's image. We're going to talk about our image a little bit more in a minute. I just want to, by the way, a sidestep. I won't spend much time on this, but the more you read that verse and read that scripture in today's society, I think it rings true, and we need to hold on to that verse. How many genders did God create? He created them male and female. Just two genders. And right after sin came into the garden came a whole lot of other choices apart from God's choices. You know, if you set up a Facebook account, the last time I checked, you have 84 gender choices. That's creativity, people. But it's creativity apart from God. 84 gender choices. How many choices did God give? Anyway, that was just a side note. No charge for that. Sorry about that. Well, we've looked at their commonalities. Now let's look at how these two women differed. Mary's life, like the lives of many other positive women in the Bible, became about God. Eve's life had been all about God. She was right there with God. But the moment it changed dramatically for her and other women like her was when it became about her. Their difference then, after we've looked at their commonalities, is whose image they decided to bear. We look at Mary again in Luke 1:35. The angel is still speaking with her. He says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For nothing will be impossible with God." And just a couple of verses later, Mary is ready. "I am the Lord's slave," she said. "May it be done to me according to your word." And we know she counted the cost before she said this because, again, she was deeply troubled when the angel first came to her. But again, he said, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." And she said she was ready. Eve, when she made the choice, when she was tempted and made the choice outside of God, she decided she no longer wanted to be in God's shadow. She wanted to bear her own image. It was about her and not God anymore. The funny thing is, if you notice, when she sinned immediately, what did she do? She ran and hid in the shadows, but they weren't God's shadows. This reminds me of a psalm, Psalm 91:1. "The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty." Are you comfortable in His shadow? We're blessed by God. We know His will, and we are created to bear His image. So are you concerned about your image or His? How would the way we spend our time answer that question for us? Do I spend more time cleaning the house than cleansing my soul? Do I spend more time encouraging my child in his sport than encouraging my brothers and sisters who are suffering spiritually? What about my time on social media? Am I following Jesus or am I on Twitter following someone else? Other social media, you wait to see if you post something. Does someone like you or do you like someone else's posts? Social media has just exploded and Facebook is on its way out because kids think it's no longer cool because their grandparents are on Facebook. But there are over 90 other ways that kids use social media these days. Instagram, it's all about images again, but whose image? Is it His image or our own? I'm going to give you just a few statistics. I don't want to bore you, and I don't want anybody to fall asleep, Janet. But let's look at the teenage group for just a moment. Ages 13 to 17, 95% of that age group use social media daily. 24% of those say they're on it constantly. In 2013, these are a little older numbers, so today I think you could probably add a few minutes to it. But this age group spends 7.5 hours daily on some form of social media. Now, medical studies have been done, and after just 2 hours of social media, you walk away feeling empty, unfulfilled, depressed, and even suicidal thoughts. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I spent a few minutes in the scripture, I didn't walk away unfulfilled or having suicidal thoughts or depressed. Sometimes we are discouraged when we're serving the Lord. Elijah got discouraged when he had just served the Lord in a big way, but then it didn't go down the way he wanted it to, so he went and sat down and he was depressed. And he did not come out of his funk until he waited and he listened. And God didn't scream at him above all the social media and above all the things that were going on. God spoke to him very quietly. And that's what we've got to do. God speaks to us, but it's just sitting over there. And we've got to listen to that. Now, I don't want to just pick on the young people. Because let's look at an age group. 18 to 64 spends 3+ hours a day on social media. If I lower that age group a little bit, 18 to 34, 6 hours a day. Remember, it only took 2 hours of social media to walk away feeling depressed, feeling unfulfilled, feeling empty. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt lonely after doing that? One more set of numbers, and this one is staggering. The second leading cause of death in 15 to 24-year-olds is suicide. We are in an isolation age. We're starving for communication. We're lonely. We're not fulfilled. We crave real face-to-face relationships, real friends, and real time in God's Word and discussing God's Word with each other. We need to spend less time comparing our lives with the lives of others. That's what makes us depressed. We're comparing ourselves with each other, and we think this is the world wants us to look like this. That doesn't matter. It shouldn't be about our image. It should be about God's image, and we can only learn about His image and His Word. Our time is limited. It's precious. It's a gift given to us to glorify Him. Don't waste it living someone else's life. Live it for Him. After all, He died for you. You're that important. You know, in the very beginning, God knew that we would have a trouble with our own image. I think that's why it's stated when we find that verse. It's about we're created for His image. And that's where we find our fulfillment. Remember, Eve's trouble started when it became about her. Mary's blessing started when it became about God. And she said, "I am the Lord's slave." So the title of my talk was Becoming a Woman of the Bible. A woman that's blessed by God, a woman that knows God's will, and a woman that bears His image. Okay, I'm going to stop and give you time to chat a little bit more. I want you to share with somebody around you a woman of the Bible in your life today. Who is she, and why do you consider her to be so? I'm going to set the timer just in case you can get started and keep going. A woman of the Bible in your life today, and why do you consider her that? Okay. That was a quick minute. Okay, a woman of the Bible in your life today. I hope you could come up with lots of them. I can think of a few just even from this weekend starting. I think of Miss Sarita, who has set this opportunity up for us to encourage one another and to be built up and to help us. I think of Miss Joy, who started off last night with our first lesson. You know, she's just as refreshing and beautiful as she was when I met her over two decades ago. And Miss Sandy, for your purity. So right there, three women of the Bible. Does somebody want to share one that somebody shared with you or that you shared? Don't be afraid to speak. It's okay. It'll make me feel better. Please. Okay. And why do you consider her that, as far as just encouragement? Are there special ways, something that just really stands out? Excellent. Encouragement. And that's really what it's about. We're not designed to do it alone. We've got to have that encouragement. And that's huge. If you think about how many verses in the Bible are about encouraging one another. So it's vital, vital. Thank you for being a woman of God. Somebody else? A woman of the Bible in your life? And why?
Perfect.
Good. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Is there related
Jane Gardner. She was my role mother, I guess. My mother was not a Christian, and she's, no matter what, she tries to keep the family together, and it's always about the Lord. And Janet Gardner, she has recently done so many Bible studies, and I'm just proud of both of them.
Amen. Thank you. Miss Kitty?
My friend right here.
Good. Good job. Anybody else? I don't want to pass over anybody.
Robin Robinson.
Okay.
And Dana Copeland.
Okay. Good. Good. Thank you for sharing. And like Sarita said, when these are women, when we grow up, we want to be just like them. And women of the Bible are vital. Not just the ones we read about in the scriptures, but the ones that live it out, that we can see every day. Thank you for sharing. I hope you can plan to spend some face-to-face time with your woman of the Bible soon. Now, I'm going to pause for just a moment, and we're going to have a prayer, and then I've got just a few more thoughts to share, so when I pray, don't get up and go to the bathroom. But at the beginning of my prayer, I'm going to be silent. I just want to give you a minute or two to thank God for that woman and to ask Him to continue to bless her with that strength, with His strength and His truth, or to ask God to help you to be a woman of the Bible like she has been to you, to someone else. So I will begin the prayer. Like I said, I'll just be quiet for just a few minutes for you to pray and praise God for your woman of the Bible that you thought of. Our Father, we want to grow up to be women of the Bible. Please send us opportunities to become useful in your kingdom. Help us to not only seek you first, but to keep you first. Teach us your way, Yahweh, and we will live by your truth. Give us an undivided mind to fear your name. We will praise you with all our heart, Lord our God, and will honor your name forever. Amen. Okay, back to that word becoming. If you'll turn with me, Miss Sandy's already mentioned the scripture from Titus 2. Titus chapter 2, I want to look at verse 4 and 5. So some of these things, they'll give us just a beginning of becoming. I'm going to Titus chapter 2, 4 and 5. So that may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, homemakers, kind, and submissive to their husbands, so that God's message will not be slandered. Now, I could focus on any of those words, and you could have a whole lesson on each one, but the two words I want to focus on are the words, so that. Look again at the end of those. What are we striving to be all those things for? So that His message will not be slandered. It is about living for Him, not for me. It's about showing His glory, not mine. It's about resting in His shadow and bearing His image, not mine. You know, we're all becoming something. I was hoping to hear some of your answers from this morning of what you were becoming. Some of us are becoming tired because we haven't had our coffee. some of us are becoming nervous in today's society with the changes that we're seeing. We're becoming something all the time, and there's two ways we're becoming something. You can become something passively and actively. Passively, you can become bitter, uncertain, apathetic, pessimistic. You can become some of these things. You can also become forgiving, hopeful, joyful, optimistic. The key to what you're passively becoming is to set your mind. You have control of that. You can make up your mind if you want to allow yourself to become bitter or to become joyful. You get to choose that. Actively becoming something. You know, actively becoming something, that's what you're pursuing. We're familiar with this when we go to school to become a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a personal trainer, an educator. Think about how you become one of those and apply that to becoming a woman of the Bible. When you're becoming a nurse, you're taking classes, you're studying, you're practicing it, hours of not sleeping because you're focused on that's what you're wanting to become. And I know in your heart, that's why you're here today, you want to become a woman of the Bible. Whatever you're becoming, is it useful in His kingdom or just yours? You know, sometimes I'm so busy running my own kingdom, I don't have time or energy to serve in His. But whose kingdom was I created for? Whose image is my focus? So what are we pursuing? I love Oswald Chambers' quote. You're probably familiar with this, but what are we pursuing? He said, "My goal is God Himself, not joy, not peace, not blessings, but myself. But Himself, my God." Sometimes we run around, even though we don't state it, but we're pursuing popularity, acceptance, wealth, career. Whatever you're spending time pursuing and training for and equipping yourself, that's what you're becoming. Dr. Pascal Michelon of Washington University in St. Louis says your brain never stops growing. We all get better at what we do if we do it repeatedly. How fabulous to know that you can get to grow at being a Bible student, but you've got to do it repeatedly. And the areas of our brain associated with those skills you're using over and over actually grow. And aren't we commanded to grow in the Scriptures? Because God designed our brain. He knew we could grow. A few ways to do this. If you have, sometimes our life is, you come to, you're just studying for Bible class on Sundays or Wednesdays, and that's not enough. But sometimes I don't know how to study. That's why I'm overwhelmed when I get up and speak. But I take those opportunities because I study so much before I get up here, and that makes me study. I have a hard time with self-discipline and disciplining myself to be in the Word. So look for excuses to be in the Word, to study. You know, put this talk together, and then I'm thinking on it, I'm meditating on it, I'm changing it every day, and suddenly I'm spending time with God every day because I have a goal to work towards. Just sitting down, a good start, sitting down and reading a few Psalms every morning. Just read the Psalms. They're so life-changing. You can do this, of course, with the Proverbs, the wisdom. Meditate on them. Discuss them with a friend. Write them down. Actually write one. Even, if you've got a journal. You may not ever go back to it, but physically using that brain to actually write down one of those Psalms that really touched you that morning and then turn the page and move on. That's one practical way. If something really sets with you, share it with a friend, write it in a note and put it in a card or text it to them or put it on social media. But share those words. The more you take it in, don't just keep it in there, share it with each other. Set up a discussion based on God's Word. If there's something that's been troubling you or something that's exciting to you about the Bible, share that with somebody. Don't keep it to yourself. And I would ask you, please don't leave here today, this wonderful weekend, without sharing with someone at least one idea that you have for becoming a stronger woman of the Bible than when you got here today. And we know knowing His Word is not enough. You got to know it enough to live it, to share it, to express it, to talk about it with each other, and then with the world full of God's children that so desperately need it. That's women of the Bible. It's not finding yourself in trouble and then looking for a scripture that's going to help. Or you have a friend that's hurting and you really want to help them, so you're going to find a scripture. It's having that scripture already in your heart. And when trouble comes, you immediately feel that peace because you've been in that Word. And He immediately covers you in that shadow. When you are surrounded by people who share a collective passion around a common purpose, anything is possible. This is I think it's a great quote, and it's a wonderful quote, I think, to express if we could put this towards God's Word. When you're surrounded by people who share a collective passion around a common purpose, anything is possible. The funny thing about this quote is it is from the Starbucks founder, Howard Schultz. Now, I know coffee is very powerful, and he's done an amazing job with his coffee kingdom. But what could we do with God's kingdom when we have the passion and the desire to be together and to do it together? Make becoming a woman of the Bible your top priority. Pursue God. We are blessed. We know His will, and we're created to bear His image. Just want to close with the psalm again of 91:1. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. Dwell in His shadow, and He will sustain you.